This is the news according to me. Here we are, December 23rd, day before New Year's Eve. This would be New Year's Eve Eve. Lots of things going on in the world today. A lot of stuff happening in the news. So much, it's hard to keep track of it all and stay on top of it and even just absorb it or let alone talk about it. Welcome aboard. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for participating, commenting, liking, sharing, whatever it is you want to do with this podcast. Toss it in the trash if you want. No skin off my back. But anyway, so here we are. We're at episode number, 17 or something? Oh, look, listen real close. You can hear my dog scratching on the carpet behind me. He does that before he lays down to take a nap. I don't know what that's about. So here we are. We have a lot of things coming up. This week today, there's a possibility. I read some stuff today about the possibility of Wisconsin flipping for Trump. That's just what I've heard. And I don't know whether that's possible or not. I know that there's a case apparently before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They may throw out the 200,000 votes that were illegally cast or cast in not in accordance with their statute, which they really need to hold them to. I don't get that. I don't understand. I mean, why don't you just throw in some votes right now? It's, you know, why do you put a limit on it at all if you're not going to? You've got a time date stamp that you're supposed to get those things in. Right? It's just weird. The stuff that's happening just blows my mind. What they're looking right at and calling okay, or you know, just choosing to ignore. It's a deliberate choice to ignore some of the stuff that's going on. And I don't understand it. I don't get it. Anyway, I tried to listen this morning to the Georgia Council, where the Secretary of State basically had his sidekick give all the data. I mean, this is like asking a crook whether or not he stole something, and it's like, no. Oh, okay. I mean, they're asking him questions. The council is asking them for the answers. This is not the way this stuff's supposed to work. The committee, the state legislature, should form a committee that has the right to go in and look at the numbers, not just ask them about the numbers, but to look at the numbers and how they were contrived, how they were calculated, how they got to where the numbers are. They're just throwing out numbers. Well, the Trump campaign said there were 3,000 of these, but there was actually only 104. Okay. Says you. And now it's he says, she says, or he says, he says, whoever's saying it, or they say. I don't understand how they can just take their word for it, which is fine if that's the way they want to do their business there. The problem is that disenfranchises anyone's vote that actually was legitimate. I couldn't stand listening to it for more than about an hour and a half. I think that they were winding down when I finally I threw up a little bit in my mouth because it was just so ridiculous. It was, I don't know if they ever even brought up the question of the ballots under the table. There was ballots under the table. They somehow have excused that whole thing away. The thing that we saw on video, they're saying, well, if you don't slice up the video and you just look at it the way it is, the timestamps on there are incorrect. I don't care about the timestamps. I care about the ballots that were counted after everybody left. They were counting ballots and nobody was observing. What are you trying to pull? And those same ballots now are in the system. Of course, when you do a hand count, what they call a hand count, and you use those same tabulators, you're doing the same thing with the same machines, counting the same ballots that were interjected into the system when nobody was watching. Now they're supposedly going to do some kind of random audit and they're going to use the University of Georgia to do this thing. Okay, the University of Georgia is Governor Kemp's alma mater. So he went to school there. He's probably got buddies there. I don't trust this. And they're going to do a random sample. So what are they going to do? They're going to take, well, we know that this carton of votes were perfectly fine. So we'll take that carton of votes, and we'll take that carton of votes. Random sample, I think, from each county. And it's not, the problem here is that it's not the counties, not all the counties. So they're including this huge pool of numbers in this random sample, and they're going to come out with a 1%, you know, problem, or maybe a 0.4% problem. They really need to take random samples, a major random, they really just need to go through all the votes, in Wayne County and Coffee County. The county that Atlanta is in. That's the county. Is it Macon County? I think it's Macon County. They need to go through that county. Because really, it's only just one or two counties. Really, in the whole country, it has come down to about 10 counties that have decided this election. Probably fewer than that. I mean, you could probably say that 4 counties have decided this election. So if you just went back and verified those counts, the election would flip. That's how close this is. And that's what drives me nuts when you hear people say, well, it's not going to affect the outcome of the election. All these different things that they keep saying won't affect the outcome of the election, at some point, it is going to affect the outcome of the election. Now, I'll get off that subject because it's just getting me all riled up. I don't think that Atlanta, I don't think that Georgia is going to do really well in the future with their government there. I think that they're headed down a really bad path because the people do not trust them. The comments that I was reading during the process of the hearing, I'll call it a hearing, I guess. I don't know. It wasn't really a hearing. They weren't hearing anything. I see some comments that if these people are serious, even if 10% of the people are serious out there about what they're saying, this is not going to end well for them. So it could be pretty bad. And I think that somebody needs to step up and just, you know, rip the Band-Aid off, make this, do what they need to do to make this right, or they're not going to have another chance. This is going to be bad, bad news for everybody. All right, the other thing, we got everything, I kind of jumped into topics here, didn't talk about what we're going to talk about. We got, the vaccine, this new strain. We're going to talk about that just a little bit more. We talked about it yesterday. The stimulus bill has taken on some new interesting avenues, gone down some interesting rabbit holes. It's taken a new shape of its own. Now, the Hunter Biden story, of course, still keeps going on with Joe's brother and Hunter Biden and Joe. And then you've got the Congress thing coming up on January 6th. Talk a little bit about that. The Insurrection Act, we talked about that a little bit. Is it still in play? Why hasn't he pulled the trigger on that? What is happening there? Not talking about martial law. I'm talking about the Insurrection Act. It's two different things. The very reason for the electrical college. That would be kind of fun. I'd like to be on that one. Could be very exhilarating. A little bit of news about Sidney Powell, a couple things happening there, and then we're going to possibly look at some headlines on Parler if we had time for that. But this is basically, here's what's happening with this. Let's talk about this COVID thing, this COVID-2, COVID-19 thing just a little bit. We have the vaccine out there. Well, all of a sudden the vaccine comes out, and the next thing you know, oh no, we have a second strain that's even more contagious than the last. And now they have shut down some things, and I think it's happened in Europe. I would not be surprised if there's more than one strain out there that's creeping around, that they've just discovered this particular strain. This is a worldwide thing, and it's all over the place. I would say that there's probably someplace else that it's probably mutated into something else, unless this is just another injection of something that somebody made in a lab. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just saying it's possible. I'm not saying it happened. I don't put anything past these people anymore. Now, according to, I think it was Moderna, and I think even Pfizer, I don't think Pfizer's made a statement on it, but I think Moderna came out and said that their vaccine should work on both strains. That this thing is covering all COVID, if it works at all, unless you have, you know, a weird reaction to it, which will kill you. Be interesting to see how many people the vaccine kills. And that happens. So that the I think it was swine flu or H1N1. They had a vaccine for that, and I think it actually killed a large number of people. So it is possible for that to happen. Now, those are probably people that would have probably died. You know, that may have been people who would have died without the vaccine. I don't know. Now, it's always, you never know those numbers of what's going on, you know, medically with those people. Were they perfectly healthy people and took the vaccine and died? Or were they people who had other issues going on and they were, you know, and then they gave them the vaccine, sort of like the COVID thing. It's like you catch COVID, you had a week to live, you had cancer, you weren't expected to live another week. You got COVID and you died a week, you know, 3 days earlier. Now you died of COVID. Okay. And that happens a lot. Happens a lot. There are people out there that probably would live another year with their condition, or maybe 6 months with their condition, but they die quicker with COVID. If they would have gotten the common flu, they probably would have died, or even a bad cold or pneumonia. Ammonia. Yeah, that's stuff you use to clean. So it's just, there's so much that they throw out there for talking points that it really becomes difficult to weed through all of the, quote, scientific information. We believe in the science. Well, okay, show me this. If you want to say the word science, then let's use the scientific method and let's use peer-reviewed studies. Let's do that. Let's talk about masks and peer-reviewed studies. Because masks are showing to be actually probably not effective on this thing. In fact, could, if you're just talking about the cloth masks that everybody's wearing, that 90% of the people out there are wearing, unless you're changing it and cleaning it and doing all these other things, it is probably contributing to the spread. Now, there's also been a study on the states that have the most strict mandates on mask wearing have had the highest rate of spread. Now, the other thing, too, on the top of this is the spikes seem to last about 35 days. From what, that's just, that I have not heard that from anybody else. That's the study that I've done. I've looked at it, and it looks like when the spikes start, from the time the spike starts to go up dramatically, and you can tell, you can recognize where the spike has begun. From that point, it rockets up like crazy in an outbreak area, a hotspot, what they call a hotspot, like as if it's Ebola. And it goes up like crazy, and then it reaches this point of plateau, and it stays usually in that plateau for a little while. There's a few spikes there. They'll say, oh, no, it's still going up, because it'll level off, and it kind of has these like little twitters at the top, like it's almost like a little bouncing kind of rate. If you'll watch that, it's like trying to watch a stock market. Don't watch the stock market every day, every minute. You'll lose your shirt. So if you're trying to do that, play that game. You look at it, it kind of levels off. It becomes very unsteady at the top, up and down. And then it starts to do this drop-off thing. And it drops off exponentially. So in other words, when it starts to drop off, it still has a couple of tendencies to spike for a few days. It'll, you know, you get a few more cases, and then it goes down. Then it keeps drastically dropping down in cases. You could start getting these days where you have very few cases, and it just drops off immediately, I'd say. So that kind of thing happens. It burns through very quickly through the community. It spreads fast, yes. It also burns through the community quickly because it can last a long time in somebody. It can last up to a month sometimes. Some people have had it for 6 weeks, have had issues for 6 weeks or more. So it's the science on this thing, and I think it has a lot to do. It seems to be having a lot to do with DNA makeup, what your background is, and also blood type. Those two things, you know, your immunity factors, how strong you are with immunity issues, whether you have allergies or not. And then on top of that, the main things are certain DNA types as well as certain blood types. So that's kind of an interesting part of the whole thing. It's just my opinion, because this is the news according to me. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I'm just talking about the news. I'm not trying to make the news. So just listen to this because it's my opinion. I guess, you know, good luck with that. So, you know, the information's out there. You can look, if, you know, you can still find some of this stuff. If you do DuckDuckGo, you can find really good information. Some of the information, you have to kind of weed through some of the stuff out there. There's a lot of, you know, people like John Ickes, who believes that there are lizard people out there. Sorry, I don't believe that. So if I've lost some of my audience, sorry. I don't think there's lizard shapeshifters out there. But I think that there are certainly people who are possessed by demons, but that's a whole other story. We'll get into that at some other time. The stimulus bill, let's talk about that. The stimulus bill. So we come up with this porculous bill that has about they're touting it as $900 billion, and everybody's finally starting to wake up. I'm starting to hear people actually say it's going to cost into the trillions of dollars, and that's the way it always is. They come up with this is just like the government budget. They never stay in their budget. They always blow over their budget. It's the same kind of thing. They come up with a bill like this where they're going to spend $900 billion or $950 billion or whatever it is, because they didn't want to make it a trillion, so they had to keep it under a trillion. But eventually, by the time it's all said and done, it will cost over $1 trillion. They're saying, some people say over $2 trillion. It very well could be. I know that the budget committee, the supposedly the non-partisan budget commission or whatever it is that looks into this kind of stuff, they'll come out with the numbers eventually, and they'll say that probably it's like $2.2 billion or something. So when you see that kind of thing, you have to realize the actual amount that you're spending, and that's so if this thing goes to $1 trillion, like I said before, that's $10,000 per household that it's going to, let's not talk about how much they could write a check out for. That's how much it's going to cost us. That's where they get the money, is from each household, either through consumer goods, direct taxation, you know, indirect taxation through consumer goods through other companies. However that money's coming through, however that money gets paid, we're paying for it as consumers. Okay, that's part of our GDP that we're sacrificing. So that's money that we're going to have to pay for, or it's going to make our dollar worth less money. If you got $10 on you tomorrow, it's going to be worth $9. So that's what's happening there. So then Trump has kind of thrown a loop in this thing. He's come back out and said, no, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like all the pork in this thing. Now, there's some estimation, there's some guesses on he's probably cut some deals in terms of what he was willing to do. I don't think he talks to Nancy that much. I don't think there were any deals being cut. There may have been some deals being cut with Mitch McConnell, because I think he's just about almost as tied to China as Joe is, not quite as much. But he's looking forward to working with Joe in the because he was in the Senate. He's our fellow in the Senate, and he worked with him, and he's real happy to work with him, and he knows him, and he's going to work with him. So yeah, that's great. Yeah, they know each other because you both speak Mandarin. So the stimulus bill is coming out, and Trump says, I want $2,000 instead of $600 to go to every person. And thank goodness, Ron Paul, you know, he's getting up there saying his thing and saying basically, you know, how much. Now, I somewhat disagree with Rand on some of this. I usually agree with a lot that Rand says. And I really respect Rand, and I appreciate the fact that he's a lot like his father, Ron, who was kind of known as Dr. No in the House when he was there, because he voted no for all the spending all the time. And Rand has kind of that same attitude, a little bit more libertarian, kind of individualist, constitutionalist, understands that bigger government and more spending is not always the way to go, that there's way too much fat out there already. And I think it's where he's going with it is, well, why don't we just make it $1 million? You know, why don't we just pay him more? Why don't we just give everybody kind of going to the whole extreme of the left and saying, basically, let's give everybody a guaranteed income and all this kind of stuff. And that is at the point where you've tipped the scale completely to go, you've gone completely communist at that point. And I get where he's going with that. It's like, well, yeah, and I struggle with the idea of giving anybody a check in some ways. The problem with not helping people in some way is that the government was the one who did the shutdown. These people were minding their own business, making their own way, prospering or failing on, they were on their own. They were doing their thing, taking their risk. And then the government comes along and says, shut it down. Now, the other problem I've got with this is that the federal government is not necessarily the ones that shut down every industry. A lot of states stayed open. Not a lot. There were a few states that stayed open. Some states had more restrictive rules than others. Strangely, the ones that had the most restrictive rules were the ones that had the most biggest problems. However, now they're asking me here in Indiana to bail out somebody in New York, that my tax dollars are going to go to bail out the mismanagement of New York or LA or wherever, California. So that's the problem I've got with this kind of thing is they don't have a good way to get the money to the people who really were hurt by this thing initially. There are people who were genuinely hurt, had no control over what was going on to them. I was in the transportation industry. I was an airline pilot. I still am, I guess. I'm just on voluntary furlough. And I had no choice. They cut our flights back. They were cutting travel. And they basically took us back to where we were not flying hardly at all. Now, I could have stayed on. I was very much demoted. I've told the story before. However, I had no choice in the matter. So I think that there should be, and that's kind of in the transportation industry, in that kind of a transportation industry, you're not just working in one place in one state. You don't have a choice. You don't have the option of staying open in your state. So I have no representation other than on the federal level at that point. It's run by the FAA. It's run by the DOT. So there are some industries that are affected federally by some kind of a cutback or this kind of an event happening. And I can see the world or the nation's population pitching in to help straighten that kind of a situation out when it's the nation that's asking them to cut back. I get that. But there's other things happening that I think are totally wrong. Just anybody getting a check. And like Rand said, there was like, I don't know how many millions of people, dead people, who were getting checks and they were getting cashed. Over a million. I think it was 10 million, if I'm not mistaken. It was just under 10 million, I believe, people who were dead who got checks in the last round. And they haven't decided to straighten that out on this round before sending these checks out. Of course, at least they all got to vote. It must be the other 10 million that Biden got. So then I also hear people saying, just going along with the pandemic thing here, with the stimulus and everything that's happening, I'm hearing people say that, well, we had to take measures because of the COVID thing for the voting issue, the election issue. Well, here's the thing. This is the thing about the Electoral College. The Electoral College was put in place specifically for the reason of the potential for emergencies like a pandemic. So you've got these governors in some of these states that are making up the rules as they go, not going through the process of having the state legislatures make the rules. The governor stepped in because it was an emergency. They had to step in and change the rules on the voting thing. Well, guess what? That's why there's an Electoral College. Because if you have an issue in one particular area of the country, you don't end up with one part of the country ruling everybody else because you have this Electoral College process where if one state is affected by something, they still have a vote. They still have a way it doesn't just affect one side or the other. It affects the entire state. So if they keep the rules, the playing field fair on all issues there, but then they start saying, well, the poor people or one particular race or another race, which I thought we were all part of the human race, but I guess one skin color apparently can't get to the polls because of a pandemic that affects everybody. But they're going to go ahead and change the process of this, which makes it easier to cheat, but that's, oh, we'll deal with that, later. No, you won't. But that's just that the whole thing on its face is so obvious. And then you got the media. Of course, they're not in the tank for anybody. Obviously they say it's fair and free. Well, then we got to, of course it is. Of course it's fair and free. Have to just believe them. because they say so, which is a whole other crazy ball of wax. So that's what's going on with this whole Electoral College thing. They should have just depended on that and let it play out, do its thing, keep your rules the same. Let's just make it happen and go from there, and we'll see what happens. But that's not what they did. So they invited this whole fraud thing, and the council down in Atlanta, they actually admitted a couple times that they said they were concerned about mail-in balloting because they know it's much more propensity for fraud. But there was no fraud, even though they had 10 times the number of mail-in ballots. More than that, I think 100 times more than they had in 2018 and 16. So, yeah, nothing to see here. So let's go on from that. Let's talk about Sidney Powell a little bit. Smartmatic, I guess, actually filed a lawsuit against her and was going after her for defamation. And basically, she turned around and said, "Bring it on." Because here's the deal: when you file a suit against someone like that. Say somebody comes up to me and they want to file a suit against me for something, for whatever, because I don't know, say I ran over their chicken. So they want to file a suit saying I ran over their chicken. And I come back basically and say, okay, now I get to look into all your chicken records. It's basically, it opens things up for discovery, which is a huge deal for a company like that. She then has the right, she knows her rights, as of course, as an attorney, but she... That basically, if they they were just trying to they haven't called her bluff yet. She called their bluff, and basically they haven't done anything. They haven't moved forward with the suit. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. It'd be interesting to see what happens with that. Defamation is very hard to prove for someone in public. But that's what's kind of happening at this point. And I think that the only other thing that I can talk about right now, and this is I'll close up the show with this, the Insurrection Act. What is going on? What's happening? Is President Trump going to pull the trigger or not on the Insurrection Act? A lot of people are asking that question. They're wondering what's going on. A lot of people were asking for martial law. They want a martial law right away, you know, bring the military in. Let's just do it. Stop this whole thing. You know, weed out these monkeys, get them out of here. All these crazy, you know, some would call them rat bastards. I won't call them that. But that's... criminals. I just call them criminals. There's people that are out there committing crime and thinking that the end justifies the means, and that makes them somehow they're righteous in their action. Because even though they had to do something that was unrighteous, it justifies it because they got rid of Orange Man Bad, who was so terrible to the country, so terrible. Of course, they blame the pandemic and everything else on him. We wouldn't. Nobody would have died if he would have done things right. I mean, Biden even said that. He came out and said that. How does that explain how it got through every other single country in the world? The only place that now has supposedly put an end to it is, I think, New Zealand or Australia, one of the two. But you're talking about an island. It's an island. You might be able to do that in a small country that's an island that has one-tenth the population. Okay, Australia's got 20 million people in it. 20 million. We have 320 million. Good luck. And you got borders on every side. You got all kinds of things going on. So it's not just as easy as, well, they did it. Why can't we do it? Well, it's because our president's an idiot. Well, it's just crazy. Crazy talk. So keep our heads level. Keep everything, you know, on the up and up. Continue to pray. Seek the face of God. Draw close to Him. Let's try to find a way to love each other through this whole process and understand that God is still on the throne. Prayer changes things. There is hope, and He's not caught unaware or somehow surprised by what's going on. He's got a plan. It's going to work out. Abide in Him, He will abide in you. Be at peace, because He has a peace that passes understanding, and that's what He's offering us. So let's just abide in that. So that's my show for the day. I want to thank you once again for listening, subscribing, being a part of this adventure that I'm on with this podcast. So please make sure you share this with somebody if you you know, if you get a chance, just share it on your social media or like it, subscribe to it, encourage others, listen with a friend or two or not, you know, just listen by yourself if you're shut in because of the COVID thing, cowering in the corner. Hopefully I can offer you some hope in this whole process. Once again, Merry Christmas. Thanks for being with us. I'll probably have another show before the end of the day. That's my plan. See if that works out. Special guest coming up next week. I'm actually going to have a guest on the show. Make sure you tune in for that. Make sure you subscribe. Thank you and good night.